Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast. We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm your host, Tyler Franke. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll be talking with John Drott, director of the Can Be Film Festival, and he'll take us through the full lineup of the provocative, hilarious, and just plain cool work being done by Oregon filmmakers that will be screened this Wednesday at the Can Be Cinema. Later, we'll debut a new segment, Soapbox, where we'll be sharing our takes on important local issues. You know, just in case anybody cares. But first, the news. The Canby City Council finally got the chance to weigh in on a planning fight that has been brewing for months between the developer of the Canby Townhomes, a proposed 38-unit development on the corner of 13th and Ivy, and the neighboring residents who opposed it. The council ultimately rejected the zone change that would have allowed the project to go forward after an exhausting public meeting Wednesday that spanned nearly 4 hours. This 2.5-acre lot has a long and complicated planning history in Canby. Back in 2003, during the city's comprehensive planning process, it was highlighted as a special area of concern. At the time, officials thought a convenience store or service station might be a good fit for the location, so they chose to give it a placeholder designation of Commercial Residential Zoning, or CR. This was confusing in and of itself, since neither a convenience store nor a service station are permitted uses under CR. But the designation was made, and somehow along the way the actual zoning, which was still low-density residential, R1, was dropped. Instead, the city's zoning maps were updated to show the property as simply having a normal CR zoning, and for years, city planning staff communicated to the owner and any prospective developers that the land was zoned CR. Councillor Tracy Height admitted that the history troubles her.
It concerns me the fact that I think the city, we need to take responsibility for the mistake that we made in for all these years operating under the assumption that this was in fact commercial residential. And that does bother me that, I mean, we admit that we made a mistake and it was an unfortunate one, but if we have been promoting that with the Dinsmore development and then with this applicant, like that really bothers me. Like, how do we write that?
But other councillors felt differently. Councillor Sarah Spoon said that while she did empathize with the developer and any negative impact the city's actions had made, it shouldn't be what dictates their decision.
While I empathize with the fact that, you know, someone may have gone down a path and started a process with the wrong information, I would also say that if an error was made or if not all the information was correct, I don't feel like as a governing body that obligates me to vote in a particular manner. I empathize with your situation, but it would be like saying that any time a staff in any company made an error, that obligated the board of directors to validate that. And I just see them as two completely separate issues.
And Councillor Greg Parker said the decision for him was a simple one. The
question before me is a zone change. And what is the appropriate zoning for this property? And I find the most appropriate and most suitable zoning is the one that's adjacent, that it's R1. And I'd also like to point out that I think we've just had a three and a half hour example of why we need to update our comprehensive plan.
The final vote was unanimous. At this point, it's not clear what will happen next. The developer, Butch Bussey of H&R Properties, could appeal the city's decision to the State Land Use Board of Appeals, or he could file a lawsuit against the city, claiming damages based on the incorrect zoning information and direction given to him by the city planning department. We'll keep you posted. A $13.5 million lawsuit has been filed by the mother of a man who died of an apparent drug overdose while in the custody of the Clackamas County Jail. The victim's name was Brian Perry, a U.S. Army veteran and recipient of the Purple Heart. He was 31 when he was pronounced dead at Kaiser Sunnyside Medical Center early in the morning of November 4th, 2016. The lawsuit, which you can read in its entirety on our website, claims the county, its medical contractor, Horizon Health, and their employees were negligent to the medical needs of Brian Perry as he suffered from the effects of a lethal cocktail of drugs, including methamphetamines and bath salts. The most sensational aspect of the case are two cell phone videos released by Clackamas County Sheriff Craig Roberts. In the two clips, deputies can be heard laughing, joking, and making callous remarks about Perry's condition, including suggesting that he be put in a cage and wheeled into schools as part of a DARE presentation, and asking if he tried to eat anybody's face yet. Sheriff Roberts said the comments and laughter were, quote, inappropriate and do not conform to our professional standards. He said he has investigated the matter and taken disciplinary action against the involved employees who are still with CCSO. The video is extremely disturbing, and the deputy's behavior is initially shocking, especially knowing that Mr. Perry would be dead just hours later. That was my reaction the first time I watched it. Shock and anger. But I do think it's important to remember how easy it is to judge someone with the benefit of hindsight. Few among us really know how we would react in similar circumstances. The fact is, our tax dollars fund law enforcement precisely so we never have to find out how we'd handle being near someone dangerously affected by drugs or mental illness. Of course, the deputies should have been disciplined for their actions, and they were. This is a tragic case, but hopefully an instructive one, one that motivates our law enforcement to live up to the high standards and professionalism befitting their roles. Our deep and sincere sympathies go out to Perry's family and loved ones, and we hope for a just, speedy, and satisfactory resolution to the current litigation. All that said, we do think the video is important to see, and that's why we've posted it on our website and social media. We encourage you to watch it and make your own conclusions. Police beat for the week of September 11th through the 17th. On September 11th at 4:07 p.m., Canby police officers ran the tags of a vehicle and discovered it was uninsured. During the stop on Highway 99E, Canby police officers arrested the driver, 27-year-old Roger Moore from Milwaukee, not to be confused with a James Bond actor, for undisclosed outstanding felony warrants. Likely making matters worse for Moore, his passenger, whose name was not provided by the Canby police, was found and cited for heroin, methamphetamine, and drug paraphernalia. On September 12th at 5 a.m., Canby police officers responded to a report of a person outside of an undisclosed business on Southwest 1st Avenue swinging a baseball bat. At who or at what, we don't know, but the woman, 23-year-old Shalane Robinson Workman, was arrested on an outstanding felony parole violation. Also on September 12th at 11:26 p.m., Canby police officers stopped a driver cruising down Southeast 4th Avenue without any license plates on his vehicle. What initially caught police's attention, however, was that the driver failed to signal before making a turn. While in contact with the driver, whose name was not released, police also learned he did not have a legal driver's license or insurance, and that the vehicle's temporary permit was a forged document. Officers also seized a disabled parking permit that did not belong to the driver or any other occupants of the vehicle. On September 13th at 3:15 a.m., Canby police officers responded to a report of an intoxicated adult lying in the street. After making contact with the individual, the officers determined that the person's level of intoxication resulted in an inability for them to provide self-care. Canby police officers subsequently transported the individual to a safe detox facility. Also on September 13th at 7:48 p.m., just like the previous night, the driver of a vehicle was stopped on Highway 99E for driving with no license plates. The driver and his passenger were both under 21. The driver, whose name was not released, was arrested for carrying a concealed weapon of some sort, driving without a license, and delivery and possession of methamphetamine. Finally, at noon on September 15th, Canby police officers made contact with two individuals who reportedly were yelling at one another at Canby Community Park. The police officers apparently recognized both individuals for previous contacts regarding them littering in the park. The officers noticed the two subjects again had littered the area with trash and directed them to pick up their garbage. The police officers then served the two with a notice of exclusion from Canby Community Park and advised them that they would be arrested for trespassing if they returned. In sports, another week, another tough loss for Canby Cougars football, who are still winless on the season. This Friday night, they hung on and fought hard on the road against Lake Ridge, but ultimately fell 38-14. As always, a big shout out to the Cougars faithful who braved the rain and packed the away stands to cheer on our boys. They'll face another challenge this week, but at least they'll be at home as they take on the 5-1 Lake Oswego Lakers. Kickoff at 7 p.m. The Canby girls soccer team went 1-1 in league play this week. They dropped a close one, 3-2, to St. Mary's Academy after a penalty kick call. Thursday's game at home versus Lake Ridge came down to the very last second, literally. Here's a call from Kristen Mull on CTV Channel 5.
Yes! Goal, Canby! Goal, Canby! Goal, Canby, in the last second of the game! That was a goal for Canby in the last second of the game!
That was a goal by senior Claire Wright, assisted by Joey Baggio. The Cougars won 1-0 and improved to 6-2 on the season. Their next game will be on the road Tuesday versus Tualatin. Canby boys soccer lost their only game this week, a hard-fought contest on Thursday against Lake Ridge. Their next challenge will also be against Tualatin Tuesday at home. Kickoff at 7 p.m. In volleyball, the girls went 2-0 this week, defending their home turf against visiting Oregon City and Tigard. They improved to 5-8 overall and 4-6 in league play. They'll be on the road Tuesday against St. Mary's Academy. Finally, the Canby boys cross-country team had a great meet this week, finishing second at the Flat and Fast Invitational Friday at Joe Dancer Park. Top finishers were Cole Thomas, Matthew Powell, and Trevor Taylor. The girls finished 6th overall. Their top performer was Isabella Kasolik, who also finished 6th in a field of 60. Okay, so our guest today is John Drott. He's the former chairman and member of the Canby Public Library Board and now the director of the Canby Film Festival, which is in its third year. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Frankie.
So the film festival is coming up. It's going to be this Wednesday, October 10th. I'm really excited about it. I've been telling people that this is actually the biggest and most prestigious film festival in Canby. Is that right? Is that still
that's
true?
That's absolutely true.
I feel like when people think of Canby, they think film festivals. That's kind of... No, I'm kidding. It's small, it's new, but it's still really cool. Really glad that it exists. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it is and really why it exists, why you started it, why you guys are keeping it going strong?
Sure, Frankie. Basically, I'm on the board of the Canby Public Library Foundation, and we're a fairly young organization. Really, we've only been active since the new library has been built over the last 3 years.
Cool.
And we were looking for a unique fundraiser, something to both get our name out there into the public, raise awareness for the foundation, but also be something different than a lot of the other local organizations. You know, they'll put on a gala or an auction or some sort of thing like that.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go in a different direction.
There are a lot of auctions.
There's a lot of that stuff. And we thought, oh, you know, what the heck, let's put on a short film festival. I had some connections in the Portland local film community.
Yeah,
and
I thought libraries hate films because they're not books right now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's actually a misconception, because in the 21st century, library is not necessarily just a warehouse for books, but it's more of a community center, and what we're trying to
suggest. All forms of art and communication.
Exactly. Yeah. We're trying to suggest that it's also a place where you can create content rather than just simply be a passive consumer of books and videos and music and things of that nature.
That's awesome. I really like that. That's kind of what we're about with the podcast and,
exactly.
and teaching people that you can tell your own stories, whoever you are, whatever you do. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
We wanted to get something going on, and I had some connections with the local film industry, and rather than just showing one or two feature-length films, we thought it'd be nice to get as many filmmakers and different styles in as possible and show short films.
Okay.
And do that. And the Canby Public, the Canby Theater here, right next door to the public library, has been generous enough to donate some space
to us. Yeah,
it's
so cool that you get to do it in an actual theater, not in like a room with a projector. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
It's great. You can come. You can buy tickets across the street at Thriftway, $10 before the day, $15 at the door. And you can come in and buy popcorn from our sponsors, the Canby 8 Cinema.
Right.
And support all these local filmmakers and everything else. So we can start talking about the films if you want.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about the lineup. So these are, like you said, they're all short films. They're all independent films, and they're all made by Oregon filmmakers. That's really the only requirement. Beyond that, you're looking for all different kinds of genres. We've got some horror here. We've got some comedy. There's even an animated one. So I'm basically just going to take you through the list and ask you to tell real briefly about each one, why it was selected for this festival, or just kind of why you're excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
First up, we have Made You Look, which I'm actually excited about. I actually know Justin Zimmerman, the filmmaker here. I mean, I met him before. I actually met him at a writer's conference because he does comic book writing. But yeah, tell us about this one.
I may have met Justin at the very same conference.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Just recently. He's a filmmaker. He's a very professional driven filmmaker. He's done a lot of work. He's done some feature length stuff. This was a kind of a one-off little project he did, introducing a young talent by the name of Kian, who's the main actor in this, a teenage
boy. How old?
Boy.
Teenage? Okay.
I don't know the exact age, but somewhere in the neighborhood of a teen.
I get sort of a Stranger Things maybe vibe from this.
Yeah, and this is just a short little film. It'll get your attention, get the blood flowing a little bit. We're starting off with that one.
It's a monster movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're starting that off at the beginning of the film, the beginning of the festival, to sort of catch your interest.
Cool.
Special effects were done by an Academy Award winner, Chris Wales, okay. A local special effects guy. So it's a nice polished short piece of work that we're happy to kick the festival off with.
Very cool. And then the animated one, which is called Dear Satan, by Lindsay Scanlan, is the filmmaker there. What's this one about?
Yeah, well, I don't want to give it all away,
right.
Obviously, but right at the beginning, you discover that. And this is done in drawn, very charming cartoon animation.
Yeah, hand-drawn animation.
Satan receives a Dear Santa letter, and being the child, misspelled Santa, and it went to Satan instead.
That must have happened to me when I was a kid. Some of my Christmases I've had. Anyway,
yeah,
I won't get into that.
Yeah, no doubt. And so Satan has a dog that the girl is asking for, a dog, and of course Satan's dog is no angel, and so Satan decides to give the dog to the girl, and interesting things ensue.
Cool. Okay, a little bit of humor, sounds like.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a cute little piece.
Nice. So the next... The next one is a mini documentary.
That's correct.
The 99W by Kendra Jacobson.
Yeah, we received a number of documentaries, and we wanted to. I mean, there were a few that we would have liked to shown, but we found this is the third year of doing the festival, and I think in the past we've had as many as a dozen films, and by the time you get out to film 10, 11, 12, your head starts swimming,
eyes are glazing over,
right?
Especially when it's a lot of heavy stuff, documentary stuff.
Yeah. So we had to turn back a couple of very interesting local documentaries, local being Oregon. But this one sort of captured our hearts. It's because it's...
Just down the road?
It's, based on the Newburgh Drive-In Theater, and the people that have run it and how it's evolved over the years and how it's one of the few left in the area, or actually on the West Coast in terms of drive-in theaters. So it's just a nice local feel documentary that I think a lot of people here can relate to, because most people here has probably been to that theater and watched a movie.
For sure,
so it's kind of nice to peek behind the curtain and see what happens.
For sure. And they're really interesting how they obviously are preserving that past, but in a modern, forward-thinking way. They're not just sort of burying their heads in the sand and waiting for the end.
Right.
They're trying to adapt while preserving what they do as best they can. So I bet that'll be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have no idea. I have no little comments or anything what this next one is. I have no idea what it is. Canned by Justin Knoll. What is this about?
This is a film about making a film.
Oh my gosh. It's meta.
Yes, it's
meta.
Justin submitted a very nice film for us last year, and we're happy to have him back again this year.
Okay.
He's
a
young college
age student. So this is just a film about how
student.
He made the film last time. He's just
about two young sisters, teenage. Justin is a college age filmmaker at the moment down in the Albany area, and he's made a film here in which two teenage sisters are making a film, or they're trying to make a film, and it's it features
this
a trash can
fiction.
as one of the this is a drama, kind of a light drama, featuring a trash can as one of the characters.
Oh, R2D2, right?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I think Disney would sue us or sue them. Okay, cool. That does sound interesting. This next one, it looks really funny. It's called Delilah, or Damn It, I Got My Wish, by Angela Nordang. Is that how you say it?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And
go ahead. The thumbnail, it's just very funny.
Right, yeah. I've got a little thumbnail photo. It gives you a clue of what happens. It's about a little girl who has three wishes, and she's managed to waste a couple of them, but... The little girl wished that when she grew up, she would be a mermaid.
Oh.
And
not immediately. She wanted to...
When she grows up.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can imagine a little girl, when I grow up, I want to be a mermaid.
Right. Oh, I have a little girl. She would want to be a mermaid right now, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
she can't wait.
Yeah, being a mermaid is not all that it's cracked up to be in real life.
Yeah.
So it kind of chronicles the issues that Delilah,
funny.
The mermaid,
and she has no more wishes, so no turning back.
That's it.
Okay. I don't know how you say this next one.
I'm gonna go with Geladooch.
Geladooch by Dil. I'll say the
Dylan Johnson.
Yeah, the filmmaker's name, Dylan Johnson.
Yes, and this is also another student filmmaker.
Oh, cool.
This is the third year we've had his films in. He graduated from Wesleyan High School this last school year. This film is more of a claymation animation, actually, and is about what happens if aliens come down to Earth, and it's kind of just cool to see the claymation technique, the stop motion,
yeah,
stuff
another
that he's able to
art.
Do.
Yeah, along with the hand-drawn animation. So there's some plot having to do with a video game in this one.
Right. Yes. Space woman believes that the video game that is a ploy to destroy the Earth, and
of course.
So conflict.
You can't have aliens without a Earth in jeopardy. So
right,
very cool. Malignant by Devin Tao.
Yeah, this is a very
a comedy,
well
very lighthearted. No,
no.
Oh, okay.
No, this is more of the serious drama.
Oh, okay. I always get things wrong.
Right. And Devin is also, he did one of our films last year. We featured one of his films. He's a very talented, gets a lot of production value for his money with his films. And this is just very well acted, very well produced drama.
Cool.
About a middle-aged man who's confronting his past relationship with his mom as she's in the hospital.
Wow. Sounds really powerful.
It's good. It's touching.
Yeah. It's too bad they don't have more comedy, though. The next one, we're almost done here. We've got another documentary, I think. The Joy Block by Joni Fox.
Yeah. This is a festive documentary that chronicles a samba group that's in Portland, Oregon. You'll recognize some of the theaters and some of the areas that they're playing in.
Cool.
It's just a real fun opportunity to learn about people who from all walks of life getting together and uniting in a large samba ensemble band and putting on performance.
Samba ensemble, nice playing lights.
And samba's fun.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Dear Future Self by Ray Nomoto Robison.
Yes, this is about a woman who discovers a 50-year-old time capsule that she created 50 years previously. It's it's an audio tape, a reel-to-reel tape that she discovers, and she still has the gear to play this tape.
That in itself is amazing.
Yeah, so she listens to a conversation of herself, what she recorded about what she expected in life. And how life has turned out differently.
Wow, what a cool concept.
And it was a nice, also a very touching sort of drama, poignant film that we thought would be a nice way to cap off the evening, cap off the show.
Cool.
So to speak.
We start with monsters attacking small children.
Yep, we have laughs.
Throw some aliens in there, a little bit of Satan.
Drop some knowledge about local
samba.
Theaters and samba groups.
And then we wrap up with
with a
deep, nice little searching
touching.
Look at an old woman's life. So
exactly.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for taking us through. Remind us again.
It's Wednesday. Where,
it's Wednesday.
Canby Cinema 8, 6:30 is when its show starts, so get there early.
You can get tickets online, too?
You can at the canbypubliclibraryfoundation.org website,
okay.
Or just Google Canby Library Foundation, and you'll find us.
Cool. All right. Thanks so much. All right, guys, stay tuned. We are going to take a break and then not come back with Canby then. Usually we do history, but we're doing something a little different this time. I think you'll like it, so stay tuned. Okay, so Canby Then was going to be on the history of movie theaters in town because of the whole film festival interview, but could not really find anything on them. I looked through all my newspaper sources, I found a few mentions, and when theaters opened or when they closed, but nothing really in depth, nothing really interesting.
Almost wonder if maybe newspapers in the old days were reluctant to cover movie theaters or something because they were worried about the competition. I don't know. But anyway, I've got our producer, Tyler Clausen, on for this segment. Tyler,
hi.
Do you want to tell folks what we're doing here?
Sure. This is the Can Be Now podcast soapbox.
Yep, calling it soapbox.
Soapbox, because that's what we're going to do.
Because I've got a soapbox.
Basically, this is where we're going to talk about local issues. Basically, a place where we're going to share our opinions. Just to be clear, this is just our opinion. Just because we have this podcast doesn't make us right, doesn't make us more educated in any way. It's just because we have the platform, we're taking time to talk about the issues that we care about. We feel like these discussions are vital to the health of to a community like ours.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really hoping to do is bridge the gap between people who might disagree on topics and model for younger people how to discuss or navigate the murky waters of events in our current culture.
Yeah.
If you disagree with us, that is 100%
cannot
okay.
Listen to our show.
Don't say that. Oh, okay. We want people to listen to our show.
Oh, I mean, keep listening to our show.
If you disagree with us, that is perfectly fine. You can always reach out to us on Facebook.
We'd love to hear.
Or on our website. Please, please, please contact us. If you have anything you want to say, you might end up on a future episode of Soapbox. Maybe we'll do like
if you want. We won't be without your permission.
We won't do it like guess what Susie said. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, Susie.
I was about to say stupid Susie, but there might be a Susie who listens to us, Susie's and I don't want to alienate all the Susies that might listen to our show.
I love Susie.
Susie, if you're out there, please reach out to us. All right, so what are we talking about today?
So, and I just want to add on to that, just to be clear, we're not reporting anything here. So when we're doing the news, we work really hard to make that accurate. You can trust that. Definitely maybe can't trust our opinions as much. It's not on the same level. So we want that to be really clear.
Mostly because Frankie does a ton of work, you guys. He does a lot of work to get a lot of facts to you. And he has not written anything that I'm about to say.
Right.
So
I don't work on my opinion at all. It just forms. So, but yeah, today we're talking about the Canby Townhomes decision that we did report in the news earlier today, and it's actually your favorite thing, right, Tyler? Your favorite subject to talk about.
I'm just so excited whenever we talk about zoning issues and different formats of zoning.
He just loves the zoning. So basically, I think this will be a fun dynamic because you don't care about this stuff at all.
At all. Literally, there's no one in Canby who cares less about it than me.
And I care maybe even a little too much. So I really love this stuff.
And it's
stuff.
Not that I even hate it. It's not that I have an opinion. You just are apathetic. Like, this is literally the definition of apathy for me. Like, you know, we live in a town where it's existed for like 200 years, I don't know.
Not even close to 200.
It's like 1,000 years or something. We're getting out there, guys. Yeah. We've existed for a long time, mm-hmm. and it's like we're going to exist after the zoning issue. It's not going to bring the whole town of Canby down on its head.
Sure.
So I'm just going to keep going to work, and I'm going to keep living in Canby, and I'm going to just keep going to Thriftway to get my donuts.
Sure, sure.
Unless this issue affects the donut situation.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want to blow things out of proportion. It's just something that I'm interested in. So do you want to hear my soapbox?
Yes, let's hear it, man. Let's hear what you got going on.
Okay, so I know I'm in the minority on this. I know I think most of our listeners who are on the Canby Now page will probably disagree with me. But I just want to be really clear. I'm not talking about the actual townhomes development. I'm not necessarily in favor of the project. Definitely had some concerns about the way that was laid out. What we were talking about here, or what the city council was talking about, the zone change, to me seemed pretty routine, pretty simple. It was basically just the developer asking for the zoning, like, hey, can you just make it what you already said it was? That's what it felt like to me. And yeah. I'm again, this is just my opinion. And people are like, no, you know.
So let's dumb this down real quick. It's basically like that time that you offered me a red Twizzler, and then I ate a black Twizzler, and I was like, this is gross. It's a black one. And then you're like, that's all we got. And I was like, can't you just give me the red Twizzler? That's what you promised me.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not.
Nothing like that.
But yeah, and I know I'm oversimplifying it. You know, I actually was talking to one of the counselors, Sarah Spoon, on Facebook, on her husband's Facebook account.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she explained some things to me that actually, you know, that I didn't realize that the stakes are actually a little bit higher than I thought as far as the zoning. Because I thought the zoning was just a zoning and it just kind of gave you this list of what you could propose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it was up to the planning commission or the council if somebody proposed something within that list and they could always just say, no, we don't want that. And that's not how it works.
Right.
So for each zone, there are a list of certain uses that are just called outright, permitted outright uses.
Sure.
And anything in that for whichever zone, if somebody proposes it and it meets whatever other standards, it can just go through.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it meets like the parking and the street standards and the design standards, even if the council somebody proposes a hot dog stand and they think it's a stupid – that's the worst location for a hot dog stand ever. They don't want a hot dog stand in Canby. If it's
who doesn't want a hot dog stand in Canby?
Maybe the city council. I don't know. But if it's a permitted outright use under a certain zoning, then they don't have a choice. It goes through. Okay, so there are higher stakes than I realize.
Okay.
All that said, here I have two concerns. First of all, the comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
Which you know nothing about.
Nothing.
Comprehensive plan.
You
want
to spend the next half hour explaining it to me?
I'll try and explain it quick. It's basically like the Bible of the city. Okay? Yeah. It's like they bring all these people to the table, all these different stakeholders. They take months. They do a really, really deep dive. They like hire a consultant to help them with the process. And they look at everything. And it's just all basically like, here is what all of these people in Canby want. We agree we want our city to be.
Sure.
Okay? It's literally like the Bible. And in this case, there was this confusing thing. We don't have this special area of concern, but it seemed pretty clear what they were trying to do. Even if the exact zoning or how they put it through didn't come through right, it seemed like what they wanted was pretty clear. And what the council ended up doing was clearly not that, of right. making it R1. That did not seem to be what the comprehensive plan indicated.
Sure.
So, and
so they brought in a preacher, and he's like, R1 is not what we want.
Yeah, I don't know
you
if that's
just said it was like the Bible, so I'm just going.
Oh, because of the Bible thing. Yeah,
that's that joke. That's how hilarious I am.
That's good.
That's why I'm behind the microphone.
Yeah. And so there are ways to revise and update the comprehensive plan if they feel like it's not right, but it's I don't think it should be done this way. Like, this is not the way you do it in a city council decision. I mean, this has been for 15 years, right, that this zoning has been, or at least they thought the zoning was in the spot, the for sale sign that's there, that's still there, says CR.
Oh, wow.
And the counselors, you know, a few of the counselors talked about how they live near there, how they drive by the lot. I'm sure they've seen that sign. You would think that before now would have been a better point to say, hey, CR zoning doesn't feel like a good zoning for that location.
Sure.
You know, let's see if we can change it.
Yeah.
Let's at least look at that. So that's kind of the concern I have, that they didn't follow the comprehensive plan, didn't really follow, this is just my opinion, didn't seem to follow, you know, the right process for updating what they felt was wrong in the comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
So the other concern that I have is that the city has a planning department, right?
Yeah.
And they give recommendations on projects like this. You know, they're the experts in that area, and they talk to the city council and say, we've looked at it, this is what we think. And in this case, for the planning commission and the city council, they recommended for the zone change to be approved. We're not talking about the development itself.
This is so interesting.
So just for the zone change, they recommended be approved because that's what they've always said, that it was zoned this way. It's what they've been saying for 15 years.
It's a red Twizzler.
It's what they the comprehensive plan seemed to indicate. So they said that they should go for it. And for me, I have always been a big expert guy. Like, I feel we live kind of in a time where expert opinion doesn't really carry a lot of weight. A lot of times people feel that any opinion should be valid, like just because somebody has a degree or whatever, it shouldn't matter as much.
It's a red Twizzler, Tyler. Well, it tastes like a black Twizzler.
Yeah.
The experts
you
are
just
telling
are still
you,
on the Twizzler thing.
It's the best metaphor you can have.
I'm trying to
make it people like me can understand it. And I love Twizzlers.
I got a metaphor for you. So here's my metaphor with the expert thing. When they're people are feeling like, you know, yeah. It's like, okay, so you have cancer.
Okay.
Do you go to your bartender and ask him what you think you should do about the cancer, or do you go to a cancer doctor? You go to a cancer. I'm not going to let you answer. When you're building a house, do you go to an architect or do you go to your barber and like, hey, you know, what do you think? Can you design my house?
Why are you picking on these really nice people, barbers, bartenders, and you're like,
I love barbers
you.
And bartenders. But yeah, so people, when it's your life on the line, when it's your money on the line, people listen
to experts.
And I feel like that shouldn't change just because it's somebody else's money or something that doesn't involve your health.
Sure.
So anyway, in this case, they didn't listen to, you know, the experts that they actually pay to give them their opinion.
Right.
And I've have concerns about the precedent that sets. Mm. So I know you've been hanging on every word. What's your thoughts on this?
Okay. So let me see if I can formulate it pretty quickly here. You've got a group of people that said that this lot is this thing, CR, right? Okay. So, the way to help me out on that one, buddy.
I feel like you should know this by now.
Yeah. I mean, glazed over eyes. I don't know if you can tell. But, like, you've got this plot of land where people are like, yeah, it's this, it's this, it's this. And then the group of people are like, great, we're going to build this on that thing that you said that this is. And then the second they go to build it, they're like, nah, it's not that. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
That's sort of what it was, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty...
It makes perfect sense that they should go ahead and just... They've been advertising it as that, and then somebody's interested in buying it for that. They should just sell it for that.
So it turned out that they were wrong about what they said that it was, but
right,
they did say that it was that.
They said that it's that. And it's not like they're like... It's not a fundamental difference.
Right.
Like... They can decide whether it is CR or not CR. They choose whether it's that or not. It's not as if changing that changes the laws of physics.
Well, it comes back to what I said before, that they're not saying something crazy. They're like, hey, we want to build a factory here.
Right.
They're saying, hey, can you just make it what you already have always said that it was?
Yeah.
So
it's not changing anything to do outside of like what they're calling it.
Yeah.
The change is not that hard to do. It's rewriting some words somewhere so that people can do what they want within the law.
Actually, they wouldn't have to change anything because the maps already say it's CR.
Right. You're right. So that's what I'm saying is like it – I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Like I
– So – but yeah. But the city council didn't do that. They voted to change it / leave it as R1. They denied the zone change. So yeah, that's our take on it.
Twizzlers.
Twizzlers. We'd love to hear what you guys think. You've already kind of been chiming in and talking with us on Canby Now. We love that. And we're going to hit up another segment here where Tyler went and talked to some cops about Special Olympics. So
it was so cool talking to them.
Yeah, yeah. I think you guys will like it.
Here we go.
And so what was your name?
I'm Deputy Tim Jackson with Clackamas County Sheriff's Office.
Awesome. And can you explain kind of we're at the Black Bear Diner and kind of why we're here?
So tonight we're at the Black Bear Diner in Wilsonville. And tonight is Tip a Cop, which is a partnership with local police agencies and Special Olympics of Oregon. Clackamas County has been very involved with Special Olympics throughout the years. I took over as coordinator for the county back in 2016, and I've been involved in several Tip a Cop events, law enforcement torch run. Another one of our events that we do is the Polar Plunge on the Columbia River.
Yeah, I've seen that one before.
Yeah, so that one's a lot of fun and very, very cold. but tonight we're doing the Tip a Cop for Wilsonville. The neat thing about this Tip a Cop event is all of the donations that we receive tonight go directly to the Clackamas County chapter of Special Olympics Oregon. So the funds stay within the Clackamas County area and they directly benefit the Clackamas County Special Olympics athletes.
Yeah, and that was a big reason why we wanted to kind of get to you guys and get over here, because, you know, we're involved in Canby and we love to see anything that can be a part, that we can be a part of. So that's really cool. What made you want to do this sort of coordinating?
Well, my son has special needs,
okay,
and he is involved with Special Olympics.
Yeah.
So it was only natural for me to, when I had the opportunity to take over the coordinator role.
Yeah.
It was only natural for me to do it because we are involved in the Special Olympics community, and we're involved, you know, with you know, different folks with special needs, and so it's very important that Special Olympics athletes, individuals with special needs, have the ability to participate in organized sports,
yeah,
basketball, bowling, swimming, volleyball, track and field.
Sure.
And this is a great outlet. Special Olympics does provide a lot. And as a law enforcement officer, whatever I can do to give back to my community is most important.
Yeah. What events does your son do?
Yeah, right now it's fall, so we're doing swimming.
Okay.
So he's at the Malala pool.
Yeah.
You know, learning different types of strokes, and in the end of November there'll be a swim meet. So
that's awesome.
It'll be a lot of fun.
I didn't even realize that they did stuff into fall and all that. So that's really cool. Really cool. Well, I guess who do you have a specific person who ends up getting the most tips? Is there someone who's really good at it, or does everyone kind of?
Every event that I do, I have different officers and deputies that show up.
Okay.
So we did one recently at the Spaghetti Factory in Clackamas.
Yeah.
Where I had several officers from Lake Oswego that mm-hmm. came and volunteered. And we earned a lot of money for Special Olympics. And the you know, folks that showed up that night and ate dinner at Spaghetti Factory, they were very, very generous.
Yeah.
And so every time is different. I have new people that come in, people that are just interested in volunteering. So there's not one person, because it always changes.
Right.
So I'm the only person that is here on every event.
Sure.
That I bring, you know, I draw from different agencies within the county, yeah, and get volunteers to come and help.
Great. Okay. Awesome. So is there anything else that you want to kind of just... anything that you want to say, I can get on there.
These events are important, like I said, for the athletes. But it's also important that the citizens of Clackamas County get to meet their officers and deputies that serve them.
Yeah.
And this is a great platform for that. I have several deputies here tonight that are helping serve food, and, you know, shaking hands and handing stickers out, and just really get to know the citizens of Clackamas County on a personal level.
Yeah.
You know, just a quick, you know, hello, how are you? And but that impact that it has, especially on younger kids,
mm-hmm.
When they have an officer that comes up and it's in uniform and gives them a sticker and says hello, that impact carries over.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, that's a secondary mission to what we're trying to do. You know, first is to, you know, solicit donations for Special Olympics for the athletes, but then also to you know, really meet our community and just have it as an outreach.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you guys, you're not just serving, you're doing just about everything you can.
We're doing everything we can tonight. So we're serving food, we're doing drinks, we're bussing tables.
Yeah.
We're meeting people. Anything we can do to assist the staff here. Black Bear, they've been wonderful to work with so far. They've been very, very, you know, they're very welcoming.
Yeah. You got anyone getting job offers to come stay in the kitchen or anything like that?
I got a couple job offers over at Spaghetti Factory to bus tables.
Yeah? That's so great. Yeah. That's a good place to get a job, too.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Great, man. Well, I appreciate you giving me just a few minutes of your time, and I can't wait to get this on our... I don't know if this is going to be our next episode or not, but we're going to get it on as soon as we can. We do Mondays and Thursdays.
And that's our show. I'm your host, Tyler Franke. Our producer is Tyler Clausen. Special thanks to our guest today, John Drott, and the Canby Film Festival. Hey, if you liked what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes. Be sure to catch our show on Thursday. We'll be catching up with the city's new economic development director, Jamie Stickle. We'll ask her why she's trying to ruin Canby with development. If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions for how we can improve, please connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at CanBeNow or on our website, canbenowpod.com. Thanks for listening.